I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Born on a whim, in a holy weathered hymn, in the sparks that fell from the moon. He aged in the light as it traced in the sky in silver, gold, and red, white, and blue. The promise of a car to bring dust back from Mars, we'll drive around till we get rich. Instead, I'd take you home and just park along the road and huddle close to keep it lit.
Dietrich Strauss is a singer-songwriter from Boston, Massachusetts. A Lancaster, PA native, Strauss used central Pennsylvania as a backdrop for many of the songs on his latest record, Labor Songs and Barking Dogs. While on a trip back to the area to perform at the Harrisburg Midtown Arts Center, Dietrich joined me for a chat about the record and his transition from Lancaster to Boston. Well, joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Dietrich Strauss from Boston, Massachusetts, but with a connection to Lancaster. A pretty deep connection to Lancaster. So you're from here, right?
I am from Lancaster, yeah.
So tell me quickly the story of transitioning from Lancaster to Boston. How and when did that happen?
So the summer of after I graduated college, I had a friend who was going to BU Law School and asked me to help him move. And I emailed a friend in Boston just out of curiosity about apartments and how Boston was, and I knew it had a good music scene. And when he told me that he had an opening in his apartment, I just kind of decided to throw my stuff in the van too and drive up.
That's convenient.
It was great. Yeah.
So were you playing a lot at that time around this area, central Pennsylvania, or just kind of getting
that summer
off?
I hadn't been. The year before, I had a couple of friends of mine. We played in a band and kind of, you know, a lot of covers. We wrote some music together, and those are the guys that I started writing music with.
Yeah.
But we played a lot of covers, and we played Annie Bailey's, Dipco, York, Heritage Hills, something. And we did that whole circuit, some things in D.C. But the summer after college, senior year of college and the summer after, I kind of was out of that.
Yeah, ready to do your own thing.
Yeah.
And that has led to an album, and I know this isn't the first one, but the most recent album is called Labor Songs and Barking Dogs.
That's right, yeah.
I want to start with the title.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, I mean, I know it comes from Wild Eyes, or at least there's references in that track, but can you tell me what's behind that?
Well, I think, so I guess I have to go to that song.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that the line in that song.
A labor song, the barking of dogs, the anchor chain in our stare. Oh, we were sunk in our beds, braided as threads like the reed you wove in your hair.
No, that verse in that song, when I was writing that verse, thinking a lot about, you know, working in kind of this stage of my life, working to kind of find myself, find my way of sorts. And it's kind of also kind of a joke because I was walking dogs at the time.
Oh.
And so,
so that was your day job?
That was my day job. And so Labor Songs and Barking Dogs.
Well, that makes a lot of sense now.
For me, you know, felt like that kind of encapsulated my life at the time.
You're out of Boston, but this record was recorded around here. Is that right?
It was, yeah.
Tell me where it was recorded and who took care of that.
So when the first record I recorded, it was at a studio in Southern Lancaster County called K-Sound Studios. And with a friend of mine, Hassan Astakrian, who plays bass with Trey Alexander. And he and I decided that we wanted to record it at his place down in Strasbourg. And we tried to do it, and turned out it was too noisy because he lived right on the street, and we would try to do it at midnight, but the Amish were coming through on horse and buggies at midnight. It was amazing. And so we moved shop to my uncle's place over in School Lane Hills.
Okay.
And set up there. They were gone for a week of vacation, and I was house sitting. And so
convenient.
We moved all the equipment in and recorded there for about a week.
So there are several guest musicians on the record. Mm-hmm. There's some great strings. I know you're listed as playing everything but the kitchen sink, and then there's then there's a string player. There's some other people. Can you tell me who played on the record and in what capacity?
Well, so Hassan played bass on the record and I think sang some background vocals. But Aaron Walker played drums, and Aaron Walker's a Lancastrian. He teaches drums at Mulberry Art Studios.
Okay.
And played with the Blind Willies, and I think he played with the Reese Project for a while. And Aaron's great, fantastic.
Yeah.
Super pro.
There's some really good grooves on the
record. Yeah. And he's, when it comes to session musician, he's got it covered. You know, he does it and he gets it done, and no joking around. I mean, he jokes around, but in terms of his playing, he no mistakes. He's awesome.
That's great.
And then a friend of mine, Rachel Kelly, who I went to high school with, she played violin on the record.
And there's a pretty sweet viola part as well.
Oh yeah, and then
we'll get to that. Lyrically, the thing that strikes me about this album is your use of descriptive language, right? There's a lot of, it's almost like poetic, right? There's a lot of, I kind of think about the record in, there's two sort of things happening. One is a real poetic perspective, right? Where you're using a lot of metaphor and painting these beautiful sort of pictures and scenes. And then there's some really specific narrative. But because they're intertwined, it's not always clear exactly, you know, what's going on. Or from what perspective? Can you tell me about where that comes from? Your writing background and what inspires you when you're writing lyrics?
Well, I think that when I write lyrics, I think a lot about images, and I try to think of an image to describe that will mean something more than just describing that feeling. You know, not to use the cliche of a picture is worth 1,000 words, but if you can use 5 words to describe a picture, and then if that picture is worth 1,000 words, then, you know, that's very useful in a song, which you have to, you know, you've got verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, and then you're done.
Right.
And you don't have too much time to describe a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts. So I try to think a lot in images, but I think with songwriting, people really like stories, and you know, one of the songs, Jean Louise, about To Kill a Mockingbird, I think is it's a classic story, and I think trying to, you know, wrap images into the narrative of that plot. I think is, for me, I'm very proud of being able to write songs that feel something beyond the narrative of it.
Tell me how a song like that develops. I'm assuming you play solo a lot. I've seen some pictures and videos and whatnot online. So is this something from a band perspective or a big sound perspective that develops in the studio, or is it something that develops live?
That's interesting. That song developed first as a solo endeavor, very quiet and soft. I think that song has had the most kind of dynamic evolution.
Yeah.
And so I first began playing it like that, and then I was playing with a band up in Boston and I was playing trumpet with them, and they'd invite me up to play a song with them. And so I took that song to them, and it was more of a rock band with horns and, you know, a keyboard player and two guitar players. And so I kind of turned it into a rock song.
That's interesting.
And then recently have kind of gone back to it with the band that I'm playing with now, and have gone back to a more soft, kind of groovier,
yeah,
hypnotic kind of.
Well, the way it's done on the album is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Wake up, scout, there's something smoking in the trees. The nightingales are fleeing and the mad dogs are in the street. Papa's got the answers and your brother thinks he knows. The neighborhood's on fire, the camellias are frosted cold. That your bare feet are still too loud for sneaking through the garden. You got bells on your ankles and the belfries in the ground. Lilacs and violets and a shotgun blast. The mockingbirds and whispers like the sky before the flash. The neighborhood's lit up bright.
Let's talk about Brickyard.
All right.
Song starts the album, and it's a very, I don't know, it moves a lot. You know, there's a lot of motion in the song. And I absolutely love the lyrics to this song. I don't have a clue really what's going on or who this person is. So I want to hear a little bit of the backstory. But the one particular line that I keep coming back to is that quilted skirt line. The quilted skirt between your knees got wet in the rain. You took it off and looked so plain. It's so descriptive, you know what I mean? And I can see it. But tell me the story behind that song. True? Not true? Fiction? Not fiction?
Well, I mean, I think that is a... Well, I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that.
That's fine.
It's funny. I did an interview last week, and they almost asked the exact same thing.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I got just about as flustered.
Well, that I'm telling you, the descriptive, the imagery in that song is so vibrant, and maybe it's in combination with the groove of the song, because the song really, like I said, it has this really cool motion. It's a great way to start an album.
You know, that song kind of sums up my adolescence in Lancaster.
All right.
In a way. I mean, you know, the reference to Bakersfield, you know, out by F&M, which is the kind of where they have their soccer fields. And growing up in high school, my friends and I would go and shoot off bottle rockets and,
yeah,
you know, huge fireworks off in the middle of the night and, you know, run down into the woods along the side there, which... Down in there, there's a brickyard.
Got it.
Which, where the, you know, they used to make bricks, and it's, you know.
I never saw your hair so red. I never saw your hair so red. Like water through the brickyard, close to where you lived. I never saw your hair so red. So plain. I never saw you dressed so plain. That quilted skirt between your knees got wet in the rain. You took it off and looked so plain.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Dietrich Strauss, talking about his latest record, Labor Songs and Barking Dogs.
Well, that actually leads to the next thought, which is about Lancaster's influence in these songs. I knew that you were from Lancaster, but I know that you've been in Boston for at least a while. But I hear so much central Pennsylvania, even in just the sort of descriptions that aren't that specific. Words, you know, small town references to hymns, fields, all the kind of things that, you know what I mean, that paint this picture. And that could be for other places as well. But since I'm in Lancaster and you're singing about these things, you know what I mean, it reminds me of here, a lot of the lyrics. So I was curious about how much Lancaster and central Pennsylvania continue to influence your writing, even though you've been in Boston for what, how many years?
3 years.
Yeah.
It certainly is a huge influence. The first record I made, it wasn't as big of an influence. I had just moved to Boston, and I don't feel like I hadn't settled yet. And then once I got into Boston, and I had been there for a year, and I started writing these songs that are on this record, I found myself longing and missing home. And I certainly, at times in Boston, wish that I could move back to Lancaster and, you know, just, you know, walk around downtown and kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily living my childhood over again, but I think that being away for a certain amount of period of time, I've grown to appreciate Lancaster's, you know, culture and allure. But I think that writing images, singing about Lancaster in Boston feels much more genuine to me. I feel more genuine singing about Lancaster than I do singing about anything else, I think.
Well, you write what you know.
Right.
And, you know, you can't change where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
A specific reference is the song Susquehanna.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of lyrics in this song that I thought were exceptional as well, that stood out. The particular verse, "Cling to me like that Bible you got, or shoot me dead with that gun that you bought."
Yeah.
It's great, man. I mean, that's poetry, and I really appreciate it.
Oh,
tell me about the song Susquehanna.
Well, I think Susquehanna came out of a definitely a conflicted feeling. I think it's that song, the images in that song are less kind of warm and a little bit more harsh, but the ending of the song is, you know, still before I die, I'll come back to you. And a lot of it comes from a story of a friend, you know, on hard times, and I think that, you know, feeling as though everyone's got this, where, you know, wherever they're from, they think, oh, I don't want to be from there. I don't want to, like, it's got their problems and it's got its issues, but you know, and I don't want to identify with that, but ultimately, you know,
yeah,
you got to go back to it.
High on the river when I saw you back when you threw it all in, at the banks and the bends. The Susquehanna slows when it gets to the end. Come to hear the faint in your will, the grain in your voice, still in your eyes, filling your pockets with sharp little pills. I've come to see if you're still alive. You lifted your head as I came to the door, strung up the walls, collapsed on the floor. Your lizard boots and bells, the lace of your clothes. I put up your picture, but it still wasn't home. I put up your picture, it still wasn't home.
I wanted to also dig into New World, because I thought New World was the most interesting song as I was getting familiar with this album, because of all the obvious historical references. Mm-hmm. And I had to actually dig around a little bit to figure out what was going on. And I found some really interesting stuff that I'd like to hear more about from your perspective. And that is the Paxton Boys, the Conestoga Massacre, these references that you make in there. And then there's a reference to the Fulton Halls.
Mm-hmm.
But is that a reference to a Fulton from here, or a reference to a Fulton in Boston?
No. So Fulton, the Fulton Opera House,
okay,
was built on the site of the old Lancaster prison, of the Lancaster County Prison. Or it might not have been the county prison at the time, in the 1770 or 1760s or something. Okay. And so when the Conestoga Indians, the Paxton Boys, raided the Conestoga Indian village in Conestoga and burned the village, and there were only 13 left Conestoga Indians, and they removed, the Lancastrians brought them and put them for safekeeping in the Lancaster prison.
Ah.
And then the day after Christmas, the Paxton Boys raided the Lancaster prison, and that's the massacre. And it was in the jail cells and in the street in front of the prison, which is now the Fulton Opera House.
Wow.
And it's rumored to be haunted.
Sure. Well, there's a Fulton Hall,
mm-hmm,
at Boston College.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I wasn't sure if the reference was to the Fulton Halls, meaning, you know, here or another Fulton building that I'm not familiar with, or Fulton Hall, an actual structure called Fulton Hall, which is like an old Boston College building.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you. on Christmas Eve. When we were young, we'd hear them ring in William's old growth tree.
Let's talk about a few CDs that that have either had a great influence on you early on, got you into music, or something current that is really inspiring you now. So if you were heading out on the road trip and you could only throw, you have a three CD changer.
All right.
What are you going to put in there?
Well, the first one would be Born to Run, especially if I'm heading out on a road trip.
Yeah, right.
Especially if I'm heading out on a road trip. I'd probably also put in Talking Book, the Stevie Wonder record.
Wow.
Superstitions on it. You Are the Sunshine of My Life. And
I could hear
Tuesday
that.
Heartbreak, yeah.
I mean, I could hear that now that you're mentioning him.
Interesting.
In your style, yeah. Yeah.
He'd be in there. That record would be in there for sure. That it was kind of the first record that I got into.
Yeah.
In a big way.
So is that in the Springsteen record? Are those is that music you grew up on?
I grew up on Springsteen by way of my mother,
mm-hmm.
who's a huge Springsteen fan. But I can't say I really got into Springsteen until college.
Okay.
And Stevie Wonder, I didn't really get into until college. But my parents always listened to Simon and Garfunkel, and so I think the third one would have to be Graceland.
Yeah.
The Paul Simon record.
Right.
And so.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to stop in here and talk to me.
Hey,
about
thanks
this
so
record.
Much for having me, Jason. This is great.
I hope you have a great, great stay down here in central Pennsylvania and good luck to you.
Yeah, will do.
Dietrich Strauss is a Lancaster, PA native who now lives and performs in Boston, Massachusetts. Find out more about Dietrich's music at dietrichstrauss.com or link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com, where you can find show notes, listen to past episodes, subscribe to the show via iTunes, or leave feedback. This episode was recorded at the Candy Factory. The Candy Factory is Lancaster, Pennsylvania's premier shared workspace. Find out more at candyissweet.com.
Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
I definitely have a couple of pop songs in there.